Yud Tes of Masechet Yesharim. And we opened yesterday with the different categories of where a person can go beyond the measure to show and express his love for Hashem. And the Ramchal now starts bringing some sources from Shas to support this idea. אתה אביא לך ראיות כל הדברים האלה מן חזר, אף פי שדברים פשוטים ואינם צריכים לחיזוק ראיה. These things are obvious. You can sense them. When you're doing something for someone that you love, you can sense that it's building a relationship. You don't need a proof for it. But either way, I'll give you a proof just to strengthen the idea. In the Gemara Megillah, Daf Kaf Zayin, שאלו תלמידיו את רבי זכאי, במה ארך הימים? What did you do that you were zocher to have such a long life? אמר להם, מימי לא השתנתי בתוך ארבע אמות של תפילה. ולא כיניתי שם לחברי, ולא ביטלתי קידוש היום. So I never went to the bottom within Arba Amos, either in place or in time, of davening. And he made a separation between davening and going to the bottom. I never gave a nickname to my friend, and even if it wasn't a rude nickname, or something which was insulting, but I called the person by his full name. And also, I never missed Kiddush. And I had an elderly mother, and one time, she saw how I was so devoted to the mitzvah of making Kiddush on wine, she even sold part of her garment, the kippah, which is like an underhead covering, and she used the money in order to bring me wine so that I could fulfill the mitzvah. Both from him and from his mother. They were willing to go out of their way against halacha. Really, they were pasul. They didn't have to fulfill the mitzvah with wine specifically. But for him, that mitzvah was such a precious mitzvah because he knew what it brought. It was so important to him and so precious to him. He was exempt from bringing wine for Kiddush. If you don't have your honors, that's why I tell the story of the mother. They went so far that his mother was selling part of her clothing just in order to help him with the mitzvah of Kiddush. Shibarosha. Amnam. If we're talking on the level of Chassidus, Hayao Seke, someone will do this. That's regarding between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why he gives that example. So between us and Hashem, a person will go out of their way to do a mitzvah, even if technically they're possible, technically they're exempt, but a person cares so much, he's going to go out of his way to do for the sake of Hashem. Which, if you see religion as a tax, then if you got an exemption from taxes, why would you want to pay more? But if you really care and you really appreciate the relationship, of course you're going to want to invest. I was staying with someone recently who's a governor of a school, which means that he checks the funds of the school to make sure the school's running appropriately. And he told me that there are some people who can't afford to pay, so they get a bursary. And there are some people who pay more than the amount that they need to pay for their child because they appreciate what the school is doing so much. And financially they're able to, so they cover a half of another child's fees as well. They don't need to do that. They could say, I'm paying 100% of the fees of my child. That's enough. But these people really care about what the school is doing. They have an appreciation towards the school. So they're willing to go beyond and help someone else learn Torah in that institution, you know, because they care. So technically, they're exempt. They've done all they need to do, but they can go beyond. Let's say someone is allowed to have a bursary because of their financial needs. They're allowed to. The school tells them, you don't have to pay the full amount. You can save it 75%. And they say, thank you, and they pay 75%. And then a while later, they pay the extra 25%. And the school says, what happened? You're exempt. You need to pay more. I said, you know, we know we're exempt, and we know you let us off, but we really appreciate what you did. So now we're able to pay the rest. We're paying the rest. What do you mean? But you were given an exemption. But we can. We can. We appreciate it. We want to build. So they go beyond. That's between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then he gives another example, also that he wouldn't call his friend a nickname. Some name. He wouldn't. Lo kinu afilu kinu she'eru shel gnai. And there, Tosfos explains that it wasn't saying that he said gnai, because that's forbidden. That's not something extra that you get a long life for. Someone could go to Gehenna, literally, and not come up again, for calling their friend a nickname. That's much more harsh. But here, if we're talking about Midas Chassidus, even if something which wasn't a nickname, it was just a cute name, but it wasn't what the person's name was, and the person might not be offended by it per se, but it's not being Yasha. So he was Yasha. He wanted to be good with another person. So he did Chassidus, and he called them by their full name. That's the example of Rabbi Zakkai. For Od Sham, Shalut Talmidav et Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. The students of Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua asked him, "B'ma ha'erach te'amim? Amar lehem, yamai lo asiti kapandaria lebet ha'knesset." I never used the shul as a shortcut. I never walked in one end and walked out the other end just to have a shorter path to go. For lo pasati al roshayam kodesh. I said that just now. Just the last thing I did now was that the Gemara in Yevamos, which speaks about Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yosi. For lo pasati al roshayam kodesh. And when the people were sitting down, I never walked past them, which makes it look like I'm skipping over their heads, which is considered degrading people by the way that you're walking next to them. So again, you see an example of one of each. One of Ben Adam Lamakom, and one of them Chaveru. Well, when does the first... B'meh Arachte Ami means that there's a standard amount of life which is considered tzedek. If you're a tzedek, you get to 70 years. Maybe 80 years. But if a person lives beyond that, then Hashem is doing chesed with him. Hashem is going beyond the measure which a person was granted. So they ask, B'meh Arachte Ami, what were you zoche for that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you extra chesed and he went beyond the measure? So they said, well, I also went beyond the measure. Both in Ben Adam Lamakom and Ben Adam Lachavera. And that's what made the Kenegid Midah. Once Hashem saw that you were doing beyond the letter of the law, both in Ruchni and in both in towards Hashem and towards other people, and in his example, Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, it was that he took shul very seriously. He would never just take a shulka to shul. He had an honor for the shul. That was that serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In theory, you're allowed to if you sit down and say a pasuk and then walk out the other end. But he wouldn't do that. A shul's a shul. He wouldn't take a shulka even with doing tricks that make technically makes it allowed. The shul, wanted to give it. Oh, that's how his way that he expressed love for Hashem. Midah keneged midah. Hakadosh Baruch Hu also went beyond the letter and did for him. Hinei zeh chasidus beinyan kavod beit haknesses, which is for Hashem, uveinyan kavod abriyos, which is for people. Shelo lefso al gav misibatan. Shelo leherot kemavazeh otam. A person shouldn't walk next to them, which looks like he's walking over them, which is considered a way of disgracing them. Here's another example. Rabbi prayed them. They asked him also, how did you get to live such a long life? No one ever got to shul before me. Not that it's a race, not that it's a competition, but he wants to express that I got there very early. So why did he say, no one ever got there before me? Because he wants to show, why was I zocha to a longer life than other people? What makes it a normal amount of life? Whatever standard, a standard average life expectancy of people is tzedek. And if a Kodesh Baruch Hu in your society, in your time, allows you to live longer, then that's chasidus. So Hashem's going beyond. So relative to other people, I would always come earlier. V'lo berachti lifnei kohen. And I never made a bracha in front of a kohen. So there's a mitzvah to always give honor to a kohen. And he would always respect the kohen. He wouldn't make a bracha unless the kohen would have first made the bracha. He wouldn't jump in, wait for the kohen. Only once the kohen made the bracha, then he would make the bracha. Amar lehem, lo achalti mebehema shelo hurmu matzanoteh. I never ate from an animal they hadn't already given the Zroa Keva. Now, take it halachically, to give the Zroa L'chayayim and Keva to a Kohen is an obligation, but it's not ma'akev. It's not like Tevel. Tevel, you have to first separate, and then you're allowed to eat. But Zroa, you're allowed to eat and then give it, as long as you reserve it for the Kohen, it's not a problem. You can give it to the Kohen later on, but he wouldn't. He would say, no, only once the Kohen has got his portion, then I will take my portion. Now, again, he's showing he's doing beyond the letter of the law. You go beyond the letter of the law, because Baruch will go beyond the letter of the law for you. What about Rabbi Nechunya? V'mah ha'arachte yamim. Miyamai lo nitkabadati bekalon chaverai. V'lo alta al mitati kilat chaverai. I never laughed at my friend's expense. I never took a place of honor when someone else would be upset by it. The Gemara there explains, ki ha d'Rav Huna dare mara akatze. Ata Rav Chana bar Chanilai v'ka dare mine. Amar le ira gilata de daris minach dare. So if you normally carry a spade or some other utensil, and that's what you normally do for yourself, and you want to carry my spade, that's fine. But that's not you lowering yourself or degrading yourself for me. But if you wouldn't normally do that, and now you're doing it for my sake, then I'm getting honor at your expense. You're being discreet. I'm not willing to do that. Halachically, there's nothing wrong with it. Halachically, it's totally fine. One could be a tzaddik and still accept help from someone else. But he was sensitive. And he said, I'm willing to accept help if you would do that for yourself. But if you wouldn't do it for yourself, I'm not willing to accept help in a way that's degrading you. That's Be'adam L'Chavera. Harei lanu, Sha'af al-pi she'mashmout kilon chavero, hu ha-mishtadel levazot chavero. Even though normally the phrase embarrassing a friend is where a person finds a way to make fun of someone else and insult them, k'dei sha'al yedei zeh yarbe kevodo, and then by him insulting someone else, he said a good line, everyone laughed. He is now honorable and the friend is put down. That's normally how we explain it. That would be on the level of being a tzaddik, not to do that. But for chassidim, they don't even want to receive honor, even in a case where the person is willing to do it. Someone is willing to carry something for you. They want to. Lo ya'ut lekabel kavod. Afilu im chavero hu ba'o mitatzeh. Even someone else comes and offers you, if that's going to cause some disgrace to someone else, In some way, the other person is going to be put down. He's not willing to do it, even though the person doesn't mind. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach was once at a funeral. A gathering of people. I don't remember what it was. I think it was maybe a rally or a protest, something like that, or a tefillah, a mass tefillah. He was outside of the gathering of people, and one of the bochrim saw that he was already older. And he was standing there, so they ran to a nearby house or a yeshiva, and they found the chair and they brought the chair out to give it to Rav Shlomo Zalman. And Rav Shlomo Zalman didn't want to use it because this boy like ran out of his way, and on the other hand, the boy ran out of his way, and he wanted to show him that he appreciated it. He said, "Oh, thank you so much. I have a safe here which I'm holding, which is heavy. I had nowhere to put it down." And he took a safe and he put a safe on the chair. So that way he was able to get the best of both worlds. He wasn't benefiting at someone else's expense. He didn't want to show someone, "Yeah, I want you to go out of your way for me." At the same time, he showed them that he appreciated the act that they did. As soon as the person is willing to lower themselves. And you shouldn't accept it if they're putting themselves down. I remember once I was in a scenario where there was a difficult conversation that had to be had. And I was trying to find a way to say it that would enable me to say it in a beneficial way, because otherwise it would probably go the wrong way. So I wanted to take me and him out of the picture, that it wouldn't be about me and him, it would just be about the topic. So I wanted to say something on the lines of that I don't understand about this topic, or I'm not worthy of this topic, something like that, where I wanted to show that, like, I'm not coming to tell you because I'm a baldea in this matter. I wanted to say that. So I didn't want us to get into a conversation where he would be thinking, "What do you know about it?" I just wanted to like help make shalom between him and someone else. But I didn't want to get it between me and him, and he's thinking of me. So I wanted to start the conversation by saying, "I don't understand this topic. I don't know much about this topic. I just know that this person's hurting and to try and find a way to make peace." But then I spoke it through with someone else beforehand, like to see if that's a good way of saying it. And they said to me, "You shouldn't put yourself down. You shouldn't start off by putting yourself down." I said, "But I'm doing it for the sake of peace." And because Baruch Hu also is willing to have his name erased for the sake of peace, so I'm allowed to do it. I said, "Okay, if you need to, you need to. But there's no need here for you to start by putting yourself down. That's only empowering the negativity here. That's only making him think, 'Yeah, I know more than you about this matter, so what are you coming to tell me?' So even if it's going to be helpful, but you shouldn't do it in a way that's putting yourself down." And sometimes people will come and they apologize when there's no need to apologize, especially from England. I don't know, there's a thing in England that you apologize even when there's no need to. Someone else bumps into you and you say you're sorry. I don't know why. But that's the way it is. Not that the people said. There's no need to apologize. If there's no need to apologize. And especially if it's degrading yourself in a case where there's no need to degrade oneself. So he was careful on the level of Hasidus. That even though the other person was willing to help him, he wasn't willing to accept it if it meant that. He was willing to accept it if it didn't degrade the other person. He didn't have a problem taking favors. "If you want to carry for me, I'm happy for you to help me. He's happy to help take a favor. But if it's at your expense, where you wouldn't normally do that, now you're doing it for me." And it's similar to Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira, "Mi'amai lo ekpadati b'toch beiti." I was never makpid in my house. I always spoke to my family calmly. I never raised my voice. I never made a fuss about things. Has ben adam l'chaver. For all my life, I never got upset with my family. "V'lo tza'adati b'fnei mi shegadol mimeni." And I never walked in front of someone. I don't remember who it was, but there was someone who recently, with all the trips of people coming to visit Keren Biavin, there was sons and fathers, and I was walking to the dorms many times. Your room I went into about 20 times. Yeah. And at the first room, I just showed people the first room. So once this happened, where there was a boy who was walking like slightly ahead of me, and then the father started, we're walking together, and the father started talking to me, and then I would pause to talk to him, and then the boy like, didn't notice, and he ended up walking ahead. And then as soon as he noticed, he like, stopped and he went back. And it happened like three or four times as we were walking. And he wasn't doing it just to be at pace. I could see he was doing it because like, halakhically, like, I shouldn't be ahead. And he would step back. It was very sensitive. And like, I noticed that he was being sensitive in that halakha. I appreciated it. So I never walked in front of someone. And this is hard, but when I was thinking words of Torah, and then I walked past a place where there was something unclean, impure, I paused. It's hard. Someone's in the middle of a mahalach from the Talmud Chacham, who's in the middle of thinking of a whole mahalach of learning, and suddenly there's something impure. They have this yetzer hara to keep thinking it through. You're in the bottom, and you suddenly have an idea of something which like makes sense, and you resolve something, and to not think about it then is hard. But why are you learning Torah? If you're learning Torah because you want to show how you're so clever, then of course you'd keep thinking it even in the bottom, because you're almost about to get this chiddush, and you want the chiddush. But if the reason why you're learning Torah is to bring Kedusha down into the world and to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then if right now it's impure, Right now, the message is unclean. You won't want to think words of Torah there because it's disgracing Hashem. So you're thinking Hashem's thoughts in a place which is not clean. So that was hard, but he did it. He was able to stop thinking Torah's thoughts in a place where it was... V'lo hilachti arba amos v'lo Torah's v'tinah. So on the one hand, you would think, okay, he didn't think of Torah in those places, but yeah, he didn't. He was happy to have a break. He was happy to have a break, you know? Happy to have some time off. No. He never walked out of Amos without Torah or Tefillin. Obviously, not when he was in a place which was impure. But wherever there was an opportunity to learn Torah, he was wearing his Tefillin and he was learning Torah. Every Adad Amos, he was doing it. V'lo yashanti b'beis ha-midrash v'lo shnas keva v'lo shnas ha-ra. And I never slept in shul. When I was learning in a beis ha-midrash, I never went to sleep. Not even for a short sleep, a temporary sleep. But again, you see the same idea. He could definitely justify to himself and say, I'm learning all the time. If I'm learning all the time, the shul is like my home. And that's the halacha. That a ben Torah is allowed to take a nap in a beis medrash. If that helps him get strength to continue learning. You're allowed to. Because it's not considered disgrace in the beis medrash, because you're doing it for the sake of learning. It's considered like your home. But he was careful not to. Even though he was learning all the time, but he would be careful not to take a nap in the beis medrash. Because that would be disgracing the place which he's reserving as being holy. For him, that's the beis medrash. I only learned Torah there. It's not the halacha. It's beyond the halacha. But he was careful about those matters. V'lo sasti b'tikalat chaveran. And I didn't rejoice. I didn't laugh. I didn't smile. I didn't take any pleasure from when my friend stumbled. And that's sometimes hard for a chavrusa. Sometimes when you're fighting back and forth, and you've got an idea, and he thinks he has an idea, and then you catch him out, why it doesn't make sense, and you can feel a sense of, you see, your plot doesn't fit in. And one could get joy over that. He never took joy over that. He was only looking for truth. It wasn't about whether he said it, whether the Chavrusa said it. His friend didn't say Rapshah, and his friend was like shown that it wasn't correct. He didn't rejoice at the fact that he won the argument. He was happy that they came to an MS, but no, it wasn't about him versus the Chavrusa. V'lo karati l'chavarai b'chanichato. Even when my friend had a nickname, I never used it. I would call him by his actual name. So you see, these are actions which are beyond the letter. And because they're beyond the letter, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went with them beyond the letter. They were caring for Hashem so much, Hashem cared for them and gave them an extra life. Chazal also say in Bava Kama, in the name of Yehuda, Haiman deboi lemahavi chasida. If a person wishes to be a chassid, and they want to go beyond the letter of the law, lekayem milei debrochus. They should fulfill the matter of brochus. For there lama shebenen beino lebein kol. I'll get back to what he's coming to say, but I just wanted to be medayek at something interesting. Lekayem milei debrochus. Now the pshat of that phrase is that you should say brachas. But that can't be what it's saying, because we're talking about chassidus. Chassidus means you're going beyond the letter of the law. So what does it mean, lekayem milei debrochus? Does it mean to say a bracha? Then why would it use the word lekayem milei debrochus? Milei is the matter of. You should fulfill the matter of brachas. It's not talking about keeping halacha, because that would be on the level of being a tzaddik. It wouldn't be saying, if you want to be a chassid, then make sure you say brachas. Everyone has to say brachas. It's the Shulchan Aruch. That's standard. So what does it mean, lekayem? It must mean that brachos have a maisa, and they also have a neshama. They have an action that you do, but there's a mindset behind the action. Saying the bracha is a technical act that you do if you want to eat the food, or if you see lightning, or if you smell. You have to technically say a bracha. It's not talking about that. Of course you have to do that. That's being on the level of a tzaddik. But what is the concept behind the brachos? What is the mindset one has to have? There's different interpretations, but let's just give a simple one. It's acknowledging that everything emanates from Hashem, and coming into the mindset that everything I have is only Hashem's and it's not mine. And only because I acknowledge that it's Hashem, that's why I'm able to partake of it in the world. That's milei de bracha. It's not just making the bracha, but it's understanding and absorbing the mindset behind what the bracha is. It's all Hashem. If you want to be a chassid, if you want to go beyond the letter of the law, then you have to get into the mindset that it's all Hashem. Anything Hashem is doing for me is beyond what He needs to do. And once you perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a chassid, doing more than He needs to for you, through understanding what the bracha is, that it's all Hashem, it's all a gift, it's not because of me. It's not that I gave Hashem the payment, and now He has to give me in return food or pleasures or whatever it is. It's not like that. That would be on the level of being a tzaddik. But rather, it's chesed. Hashem doesn't have to do anything for me. And making the bracha is reiterating to myself and deepening the awareness within myself that that's the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. So that's Milekayem Milei De Brachos. What the Ramchal is bringing it for is saying that that's Keneged Ben Adam Lemakom. It's going to be one of each of the three. So the way that you become a chosid is you have to be in each area, between you and Hashem, between you and other people, and between you and yourself. You have to work on the three shlemus, There's three types of levels of shleimus. You have to make sure you're fixing and working on each relationship between you and Hashem, you and other people, and you and... How do you become a chosid in respect to you and Hashem? How do you do it? If you perceive what the concept behind the brachos is. And when you say a bracha, you absorb the concept which exists behind the bracha. And then you're able to recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu is doing chesed for you. And then you relate to Hashem with chassidus. And then you'll be willing to do acts of chassidus for the love of Hashem. That's stage number one. Stage number two, or not stage, but aspect number two. So Amri Leh, the Gemara Bava Kama says, there's another opinion in the name of Rav Yehuda. Lekayem mili de nezikin. You should fulfill that which it says regarding nezikin. For zeh masha bin oda bin chaveru. And that's talking about between you and a friend. Right? I mentioned this to someone today, and this is an important point. Today I was learning with someone, and there was something that came up in the Gemara. And I said, but this is a real message in Avodat Hashem, and we spoke about the message of Avodat Hashem. And they said, yeah, but it's a machloket. There's another opinion after. So I said, and? Like, so what? I said, no, definitely. It's a machloket. I said, no, that's not how it works. When it comes to matters of halacha, then you have to pask in a certain way. So then you can't remain on the level of Eilu Ba'eilu Divrei Elokim Chaim. You can't. You have to know what to do. It's still true that Eilu Ba'eilu Elokim Chaim, but you have to pask it. So you have to move away from one opinion to know what to do practically in the world. But when it comes to Agadita, you don't have to move away. You can remain in Eilu Ba'eilu Divrei Elokim Chaim. And if there's a message in Avodat Hashem from the one aspect, and then there's Va'amri Leh or Va'yeshom Rim, and there's another message to take from another aspect, they're both true. It's not one as opposed to another one. In halacha it is. You have to choose. You have to know how to act. But in Avodat Hashem, unless of course the two are opposite ways of serving Hashem. But even then it's not necessarily a contradiction. It could be that in times in your life, this is the appropriate way of behaving, and times in your life, this is the appropriate way of behaving. Either way, when it comes to Divrei Agadah, it's important to realize that it's not a machlokes. It's Eilu Ve'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chaim, and each of them are essential. So when it says here, Va'amri Leh Va'amri, that Rav Yehuda said that the way to become a chosid is through Nezikin. But you said brachos. Okay, it's either or. No, it's not either or. And Agadata, it's Eilu Ve'Eilu Divrei Chaim, remains pristine. It can remain in its state of both being true. So again, this point, the insight that we said earlier, I think is true here as well. There are many areas of Nezikin which people aren't aware of. When you learn Bava Makama, you learn Hilchos Bo. Hilchos Bo is also if you're on a bus and you leave your bag in the aisle. And someone trips over your bag that you left in the aisle. There's a place you're not supposed to leave something. It's a public thoroughfare. People are supposed to be walking up and down the aisle. And if you leave your foot out of the side of your chair, or you leave your bag, well, one is Adam and one is Bo. But if you leave you or an item, then that's Hilchos Nezikin. And that's not something which is for Iyun in Bava Kama alone. It's something which you have to know the practical halachas of and you have to be acting. But that's all on the level of being a tzaddik. The fact that you need to know how Hilchos Bo applies day to day is on the level of being a tzaddik. So here we're talking about how to be a chassid, so what does that mean? It means that you understand the mindset behind why HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Hilchos Nezikin. And you start being sensitive towards other people. And you start caring about other people. Not just because the halacha says not to leave my bags, but I'm going to go out of my way to find ways to help other people and help set people up to be successful in life. Like the Rambam says in Hilchos Tzedakah. You can give tzedakah when someone has a need, or you can employ them or train them. That's being a chassid to do that. You're going beyond the letter. The need is that they're hungry, I give them food. But you want to go beyond, you're going to set them up. So if you want to be a chosid, as far as Nezikin is concerned, you read into the halachas of Hilchos Nezikin. And you understand the sensitivity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to develop towards other people. Then you'll be a chosid. Then you'll go beyond the letter of the law towards other people. And that's why it doesn't say to lekayim Hilchot Nezikin, to lekayim milik de Nezikin. The matter of Nezikin, you understand that there's a neshama behind it. Not just the mindset, but the neshama. V'zeh ma shebe adam lachaveru. V'amri lei lekayim milik de avos. And the third statement of Rav Yehuda, if one wishes to be a chassid, then you should fulfill that which says in Pirkei Avos, Shesham nichalim inyanim mikol achalakim. There Pirkei Avos has both ben adam l'makom. Oh, that's interesting. He doesn't say what I said. Right? I mean, I think what I said can also be true, but what he's saying is, he's not saying, I think the Marsha maybe, says that Pirkei Avos is ben adam l'atzmo. It's working on Tikkun HaMidos. But Mr. Sharam is not saying that, but we'll just say what he's saying. He's saying that in Pirkei Avos, it has both elements of Ben Adam L'Chavera, and it has Ben Adam L'Makom. And therefore, you should fulfill and live what it says in Pirkei Avos, Shesham Nichalim Inyanim Mikol HaChalakim. So, if we go according to the Maharsha, that you understand why there's three, because there's three different elements of Tikkun that you need to do. But if you go according to Mr. Sharam, who's saying that it's one, and then one, and then both, then why does it say three? Once you said Hilchos Brachos, and once you said Hilchos Zikin, then obviously you have both. So maybe he says the third to show you the point that we made, that you need to have both together. Because if you wouldn't say the third one, you would think it's either or. You could either be Ben Adam Lakom Tov, or you could be Ben Adam Lachaver Tov, and then you can choose which one. So therefore, according to the Mitzvah, maybe it said Pirkei Avos to show you that you need to be working on both, and therefore he says, you fulfill what Pirkei Avos says, which shows you there's a harmony between the two. Both Ben Adam Lakom and Ben Adam Lachaver. Okay, but Hashem will continue. Shalom.